Base Tavis, Zois Chanukah, Thursday, the 5th of December, Rabbi Anthony Manning, Chochmas Yevonis, it's really all Greek to us.
Good morning, gentlemen. Chanukah Sameach to everybody here, Lichtig and Chanukah. There should be a sheet going round and a source sheet so you can see what we're doing. Today we are looking, Be'ezrat Hashem, at the Inyan of Chochmas Yevonis. What is the legacy of the Greeks in this sense? Is Chochmas Yevonis Mutter or Osa? What is it? What isn't it? A few important Gemaras and then maybe a little discussion around the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch. There are three important Gemaras really that we have to learn. Bava Kamma, Menachos, and also Mishneh in Sota. Have a look in number one, please. Quite famous Gemara. Kishitzaru Beis Chashmonai Zelze. When the Chashmonai were fighting each other, Aristobulus were the great-grandchildren of the Maccabim who carried out the whole Hanukkah victory. And quickly the Chashmonaim story went off the boil. The great-grandchildren and the great-great-grandchildren became Sadukim, and there was a massive Jewish civil war. It was a very, very difficult time for the Jewish people. This was really the beginning of the Churban by Sheni process. So Hyrcanus was inside the city, and Aristobulus was outside the city. And of course, it was Hyrcanus that brought in the Romans to try and help him to beat Aristobulus, and that, of course, was the beginning of the end. Once you invite the Romans in, they're never going to leave. Every day they would send down money in a basket for the Korban Tamid. And they would send up Tamidim. Because even though they were fighting each other, they said, well, they've got to bring the Korbanus. So there was an old Greek sage there, or a Jewish sage. He knew Chochmas Yevonis. What exactly is that? We'll see. Some kind of Greek wisdom. He said to them, if you keep on helping them to do the avoida, you'll never win the battle. The next day, shilshalu dinarim bekupa, they sent down the dinarim, the coins, behelolem chazir, and they sent a chazir up instead of a sheep. This very famous midrashic idea. It got halfway up the wall. If the pig put its feet, if you like, its hooves into the wall, and it's down there. It's Israel. Arba meis parsa al arba meis parsa, and the whole of Eretz Israel shook. In a midrashic sense, this was, if you like, a revolutionary moment that this undermined the foundations of the spiritual nature of the states that they had, of the Jewish control over Israel, and that, as I said, was the beginning of the end. Now, this is the bit we're interested in. But Oysa Shah Amru, at that point, Chazal said, Oru ha'ish she'agdel chazirim, it's cursed is the person who raises pigs, you're not allowed to raise chazir. And cursed is a person who teaches his son Chochmas Yevonis. So Chazal clearly had a problem with teaching Chochmas Yevonis resulting from this episode. The question is, well, what is this? What was this man doing, this Greek? Was he giving a philosophy class? Was he speaking to them in Greek? In what sense does the Chochmas Yevonis relate to what the man was doing? So the Gemara says, the Chochmas Yevonis mi Asira. It's really, is it also to learn Chochmas, to teach Chochmas Yevonis? V'hatanya, I'm a Rebbe, Be'eretz Yisrael, or Loshon HaKodesh, or Loshon Yevonis. Rebbe says, Loshon Yevonis is a Greek, is a fantastic language. There are signs from the Beis HaMikdash, archaeological signs we've dug up that are in Greek. And we know that the Gemara Megillah, Sefer Torah, which is written in Greek, is a kosher Sefer Torah in ancient Greek. So it says, the Gemara, we surely don't have anything against the Greek language. So the Gemara says, no, of course we don't. Amr Loshon Yevonis Lechud, Chochmas Yevonis Lechud. You're right. Greek itself is not a problem. On the contrary, Greek itself is a bonus. We'll see soon. Greek is a very positive idea in terms of the language. But the Chochma of Yevonis, that of Yavan, is awesome. Fine. Says the Gemara, but Chochmas Yevonis mi Asira, really? Is even the Chochma Asa? V'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Mishom Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Elif Yeladim Hayu Bebeis Abba. There were 1,000 people, students in the academy of Rabbi Gamliel. Chamesh Mois Mehem Lamdu Torah. 500 of them learned Torah. Chamesh Mois Lamdu Chochmas Yevonis. And 500 were on a whole curriculum. There was a mixed Kodesh, and don't tell anybody about this. There was a mixed Chol and Kodesh curriculum. That's half of them learned this, half of them learned that. So Gemara says, no, that's an exceptional situation. Amri says, no. Shani Beis Rama Gamliel, his academy was quite different. Shehayu Kroivim Lemalchus, they were involved in the whole Roman political life. And therefore they had to learn Chochmas Yevanis in order to be able to communicate and deal with the Romans. They were training people to be able to deal with the Romans. So again, what was it that they were teaching them? Were they teaching them a language? Were they teaching them a philosophy? Were they teaching them some kind of political nous? What were they doing there? But it seems this was an exception. Chazal say they could learn Chochmas Yevanis. Everyone else can't learn Chochmas Yevanis. Fine. That's the first Gemara. The Mishnah in Soita says in number 2, Bepul Moshel Titus Gazra al Atras Lekales, when after the Churban, when Titus ploughed over the, or destroyed the Jewish people, so in the Beis HaMikdash rather, so he said they made a Gezerah against the Kalas wearing the crowns, V'sheloi Yilamed Adam Espeno Yivanis, and that they made a Gezerah that a person shouldn't teach their son Yivanis, it says here. So there's a historical problem here, there's a chronological problem. So the Pul Moshel Titus was a long time after Hyrcanus Aristobulus, a good 150, 200 years later, maybe 150 years later. So Tosfos immediately picks up on that problem in number 3. In time of a Haloi Pul Moshel Titus Gazru, if you're going to tell me that they were Gozer, the Pul Moshel Titus, Kedez of Perig Basra de Sota, as we see in Sota, the Gazru Alatras Kalos for Shaloi Yelamid Adamis Benoi Chochmas Yivanis, Pul Moshel Titus Haya Bashas Churban. The Pul Moshel Titus was at the time of the Second Temple, the destruction of the Temple. Umalchus veish Chashmonai kad mutuba, and Chashmonai were a long time before. That's the question we just raised. The dispute with Titus, the whole destruction process where Titus was working for Vespasian and destroyed the Second Beis Hamikdash. The Malchus Beis Chashmonai pasuk bifnei habayis me'av shalish, because we see that that the Chashmonai were some 100 years before the destruction. He gives two trutzim. So he says v'teretz harab Yaakov v'rab Shimon. The me'ikara gazru v'loy kiblu v'inayhu. Originally they made a gezera in the time of the Chashmonai, but the people were not makabel. And as we know, the Rambam says in Hilchas Mamrim, if the Sanhedrin made a gezera, but the people were not makabel the gezera, so the gezera has no toikef. The people have to be makabel in order for the gezera to work. We saw this with Pas Akum, with Stam Yenam, and with Shemen Akum. They made a gezera on Shemen Akum, and the people were not makabel, that we can't live a life where we can't buy olive oil from non-Jews, therefore the gezera fell away. Similarly here, Tosfos wants to say the gezera didn't work the first time. Ula Basar, and then eventually the second time, Gazru v'kiblu minayhu. Then the people were less antagonistic the second time round after they'd seen the whole Churban process and they were makabel, they're the Gezera. V'oid yesh lami, he gives the second answer to me, karakai ba'oror, ba'alma. Originally they didn't make a Gezera, maybe it was just oror, we really don't recommend it. V'iboy li kibuli alai letuvas Raman, and if you want, you can accept the oror if you want. And later they said they made a gezeira, and they said even if you want to accept the negativity, you can't, it's now osa. So it seems clear eventually, at whatever point it was osa, it clearly became osa. Fine. We still haven't said what it is. We'll get to that, Be'ezrat Hashem, soon. Gemara in Menachos, the last Gemara we'll be looking at here. Another quite famous and interesting Gemara. Am Rebbe Yochanan Mishum Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai. Afilu lo ikara adam ela kriya shema shachas v'arviz kim lo yomosh. Here the Gemara is discussing how much Talmud Torah do you need to do in a day in order to be Makayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, Yomam v'layla. So there's a debate here between Rabbi Yishmael, who says, Mamash, you have to learn the whole day. The Torah gives you a heter, v'asafta d'gonecha, that you can go out and gather in your corn, meaning you're allowed to stop learning to make parnasa, but in principle you have to learn the whole day. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, no, if you learn in the morning, if you learn in the evening, you're makayim the mitzvah. Of course, you should learn as much as you can. In fact, he's less happy about parnasa than Rabbi Yishmael is. I'm not getting into the whole sugya. But in principle, you're makayim the mitzvah if you learn a bit in the morning, a bit in the evening. Fine. Shal ben Dama ben Achosis Rabbi Yishmael es Rabbi Yishmael. So Rabbi Yishmael, who has a very stark view on Yomam Valayla, he says, Mamish, you have to learn every minute that you can. So his nephew asked him, Kagoin Ani, what about me? Shilamati kol haTorah kulam. I learned all the Torah. Very clever nephew. It's an interesting statement, Shilamati kol haTorah kulam. But let's take him at face value. He says, I learned the whole Torah. Do I really have to keep learning day and night? Mau lilmod Chochmas Yevanis. Can I have a heter to learn Chochmas Yevanis? So Rabbi Shimon gives him an interesting answer. Karolava mikrazim. So he taught him this pasuk. Lo yamush sefer haTorah hazeh mipicha v'higisa bo yomam v'layla. Says in the pasuk, you have to learn day and night. Seu bodok, go and find shashe ein lomina yom v'lomina laila. If you can find a time which is neither day nor night, So what's he telling him? Is he telling him, absolutely not? And it's almost like sarcastic. You think there's a time which is neither day or night? If you can find such a time, you can learn Chochmas Yevanis. Of course, there is no such time, so of course it's Aser. Or is he telling him, the episode Bein HaShmoshes, maybe, you can find in life, that if you can find a Bein HaShmoshes, which is neither Yom or Laila, you can slip it in somehow. Which is he saying? Because he could have just said no. Rabbi Shmuel could have just said Aser. And he didn't. He gave him this interesting, rather elliptical answer. So we'll see what the Ramon makes of this soon.
How much chokhmah can you learn in such a...
The Vilna Gaon learned plenty chokhmah's goyim in the few minutes that he took to go to the bathroom. He learned more chokhmah then than probably most people learn in a PhD thesis. So if you've got a good brain, you can pick up plenty in a short time. So, fine. So these are the three Gemaras that we're learning. Now, the Yerushalmi has a slightly different take. If you look in number 6, the Yerushalmi picks up this debate between Rabbi Shmuel and his nephew and says it a little bit differently. He says like this in Sota, the Yerushalmi. B'pum shel titus garzo al atras kalash v'shelo yilamed adamis b'no yivanis. Shala Rabbi Yeshua, mahu sheyilamed adam es b'no yivanis. Are you allowed to teach your son Greek? It says you should teach him in a time which is neither day nor night. Again, it's not clear whether this is saying yes or no. It sounds more like yes than the last one, but not clear. And then the Rishami adds an interesting line. Rabbi Bar Breda Rabbi Chia Barba, B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, he says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and if you remember the last statement in number 4 was also B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, Mipnei Hamasoiris. The whole reason for this is because of people will be moiser. People, you shouldn't teach your children Greek because they will become too close to the political establishment. We'll see. Look in number 7 for a second at the Pnei Moshe, the Pnei Hamasoiris. Tamahu, the reason is shelo yilamid es b'no yivanis shelo yehei makir b'lishoinam v'ramazam, that your son shouldn't be too familiar with the lashon. And the Ramazim, we'll see soon what the Ramazim means, of the Greeks and the secular culture, the Ali de Ken Yargil Chotzer Hamelech the Yimson. And he will become secularized, involved with the governments, and Nebuchadnezzar might go off. And he might take other people off. He'll become a secular person. That's the concern. And therefore, the Gemara, go back to number 6 in the Yerushalmi, says Rabbi Abba B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, says Rabbi Abbahu, Mutzel Amid Alame Es Bitoi Yevanis. But therefore, if that's the concern, to teach your daughter Greek, that's mutter. Mipnei shehi tachshitla. Because for the girls, says Yerushalmi, this is a tachshit, this is a beautiful thing. Look at the Pnei Moshe again, number 7. Shevach v'tiferesla. Ubeisha ein chashash masoyos. And therefore, with the women, we're not concerned they're going to get too involved in the government, because that's not what the women did. And therefore, if there is no concern of the going off the derech, in principle, the Gemara seems to be saying that Chochmas Yevanis is a great thing, or Yevanis at least, is a great thing, and therefore the girls, it's a tachshit for them, and since there is no chashash that they're going to go off the derech, because they're not really involved in the political national life, they're not mixing with other people, so there they should teach them the Chochmas Yevanis. What's that? Yes, to be an informer, they'll get close to the government, and they will turn, if you like, over to the other side, and that will turn them in that way. Correct, exactly. Have a look, please, over at the top of the next page, so you'll see it's just gone over the page a little bit. Source number 8, this is from the Shiari Korban, which is the same as the Korban Ha'eda, the same parish on the Yerushalmi. He says at the end there, the lean nearer on the top line of the page, it seems to me, the loy asru, that they only asked Chochmas Yevanis. Yevanis here, ela shelo yilamid es benoy mipnei hamasoiris. Aval hu asmo, but if you want to learn, sheyodeya ba'asmo shelo yavor chas v'sholem, al divrei Torah. But if you want to learn, hu asmo sheyodeya ba'asmo, you can learn if you know that it's not going to be a concern. So it seems to be raising the question as well, how far did Chazal answer this? He said, you can't teach it to your children because you don't know who your children are. They may be able to cope with it, they may not be able to cope with it. But if you yourself know you can cope with it, maybe this is not such a problem. And I brought you a number 9 here, a slightly lesser known parish of Yisrael, Mitoledo. He was one of the students, one of the Talmidim of the Rosh. He says an interesting thing on Pirkei Avos. Amru Arushi Lamedes Benoi Chachmas Yevanis. Chazal said it's cursed is a person who teaches their son Chachmas Yevanis. V'loi Amru Sheyilmud Chachmas Yevanis. They didn't say Oror is the person who learns Chachmas Yevanis. So again, they're trying to work out what exactly are the parameters. Is it that there's something intrinsically bad about Chachmas Yevanis? Or is it that we don't want to teach it to people because who knows who they are? It's a similar argument that they bring, by the way, in terms of teaching kosher melamed is bitoy Torah ki ilam alam de tiflis. So they bring the same kind of argument, some of them are foreshim, that teaching girls under certain circumstances indiscriminately Torah Shebaal Peh, or even, by the way, Torah Shebaktav, that's a whole discussion there, may be the thing they're talking about. But if the women are able to learn and show themselves able to learn, then maybe that's nothing, there's no problem with that whatsoever. I'm not getting into the whole debate now, but it's a similar kind of parallel. So we see, in summary of the first part, Chochmas Yevanis, we haven't defined what it is yet, but it seems that Chazal said it was also to teach it to your sons. Yerushalmi says because there's a concern of assimilation and secularization. Daughters, it seems, is not a problem. Rabban Gamliel's yeshiva taught it because of political reasons. They had a special heter. And maybe there's even an opening if a person were to learn it rather than be taught it. If they were able to cope with it, maybe, according to some aforeshim, that would be less of a problem. So I think we need to define what is it that we're talking about now. Yes.
I don't understand the word learning, because there's learning for the same way as we learn Torah just for its own sake, and there's learning for the sake of practical...
Chochmas Yevanis. So we have to define what it is. Once we define what it is, we'll know what we're learning and why we're learning it. So there are basically three shittas, as far as I'm aware, in what Chochmas Yevanis is. Rav Meir Abu Lafia, the Ramah shitta, is that it's astrology. Okay, that's very much a minority view. He's brought by the Shittim Ukubetzis in number 10. He says it's Choizim B'Kochavim, and therefore that's, we're worried about drifting into a superstitious, astrological approach. That's not the mainstream view of the Meforshim. One of the mainstream views, of course, is that it's Greek philosophy. Greek philosophy was a massive invasion, if you like, into the Jewish mind in the period of the Second Temple, the Hellenistic period, Aristotle, Socrates, Aristotle, Plato, etc. The Jews were immensely attracted, and we'll deal with at the end why, more than any other culture, the Jews were very attracted to the concept of Greek philosophy. And according to some of the Meforshim, that is exactly what Chazal were worried about. Look for a second at the Meiri in number 12. Because of a Rav Meiri, so the Meiri says, Chochmas Yevanis, Asura Lelamda, you're not allowed to teach Chochmas Yevanis, Mipnei Shemoysheches Liboi Shel Adam, because it entices away a person's mind. It draws a person's mind away from Torah. V'hoireses harbe mipinas hadas. It destroys the foundations of Jewish religion. Don't forget, there are many, many things about the fundamental ideas about Greek philosophy, which are very difficult, very incompatible with the standard Jewish understanding of revelation, of Har Sinai, of Matan Torah, of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is involved in the world. The Greeks taught of a first cause, an unmoved mover, a God which was very distant from the world, very unconnected with the world. It can easily lead a person away from a Jewish perspective, and therefore the Meiri takes, if you like, what you might expect him to expect people to say, that this is talking about Greek philosophy. The question is, how does that fit exactly with, go back to Aristobulus and Hyrcanus, what is this Zokain doing in terms of telling them to take up a chazir? Is he giving them a Greek philosophy lesson? How does that work? And therefore, it seems that the mainstream view in the Meforshim is not that Chochmas Yevanis is Greek philosophy, but is something else which is perhaps more subtle, and we'll see now what that is. If you have a look, please, in Rashi. Rashi is very, very famous. Rashi says, number 13, Chochmas Yevanis, on the Gemara there in Soita, when it says, Oror, cursed is a person that, or rather it says, Bepulma Shel Titus, there they made a Gezerah, says the Gemara, says Rashi, Chochmas Yevanis, Loshen Chochma, Shemadabrim Boi Bnei Paltin, it's a special kind of language that the politicians are speaking, the Ein Shar Ha'am Makirim Boi, and the normal everyday people don't really know what they're talking about. It's almost like a kind of code A spin. They say one thing, they mean something else, and only those people who are in the know are able to understand what they're talking about. Now that fits very well with the Zokein, who is able to tell them in a way which only the people understood, who were tuned into this, and he wouldn't upset the people, etc. This seems to be the view of Rashi, and we'll see soon is the view of the Rambam as well. Look at the Rivash for a second, in a tshuva here, the Rivash, in number 14, takes the same view. That the Svarim, certain Svarim, they're not included, I think he's talking about the Greek Svarim here, are not included in this Gezerah of Chochmas Yevanis. If you have a problem with the fact that they're written in Greek, there's nothing wrong with Greek. Greek is a positive thing in many ways. And everybody knows Greek. I mean, who doesn't know Greek? It wasn't Greek to them, that's for sure. It says, there's no problem with the language of the Greeks. The Adarabba, on the contrary, Amalaz Levani Lachol Kosher. So the language of Greek is kosher for everybody. It was the lingua franca of the ancient world. By the way, just as an insight, the Greek philosophy found its way back into the Jewish community in the Middle Ages, not through Greek, but through Arabic. Because many of the Arabic scholars, the Islamic scholars of the 9th, 10th, 11th century, translated the Greek works of Aristotle and Plato into Arabic. And Arabic, of course, was the language then of all the Jews in in Spain and Northern Africa. And so Rav Sagigo and the Rambam, the Ralbag, etc., they accessed this through Hebrew translations then of the Arabic, etc., etc. Now, so he says, what's the problem with Greek? The im mitzad ha-chochma ba'atzma. And if you have a problem with Greek wisdom itself, ma'o jizesh alaz lahem ha-zokin ha-hu. Well, how does that fit with the story of the Zokein? What was he giving them, a whole lecture in philosophy? Doesn't seem to fit. Well, l'chein nirali, he says the Rivash, it seems to me, the chochmas yivanis, he ledabri b'loshin yivani b'chidois, u'b'loshin sasum. It's the same idea. It's speaking in riddles, speaking in a closed way. That the ordinary people don't understand. Rak oisem shalamdu, only those people who learnt it. And they know the parables and the understanding, etc., etc. The Rambam takes the same view, and he says on his parish on the Mishnah, number 15, when it says in the Mishnah, and so to you can't teach your son Greek, it means chochmas yivanis. Because it was a kind of rhetorical style. They introduced ramazim into their speech. And they spoke in a way which was not how it sounded. There's a hidden thing there. The Greeks were specially into this double speak, if you like. And the Chazal were very worried that we shouldn't teach people to speak that way. That's not the way that a Jew speaks, where it's echa b'chutz b'ech b'klim, etc. You have to speak, when you say things, you have to be clear in what you say. V'davazen, he ends up saying with Rambam, V'davazen ain li suffix shenishtachal v'nolisha mimenu ba'olam. Ha'olam hayom, v'lo ma'at, v'lo harbe. I know for a fact, he says, but that none of this exists anymore. What Chazal asked with Chochmas Yevanis was something that was then. Now he says we just don't have this anymore. This double speak, this clever ramazim and chidois in Greek, and therefore this whole thing doesn't apply anymore. It's very interesting. You look in the Rambam, you look in the Shulchan Aruch, you will not see anywhere where it brings down the halacha. It's also to teach your son Chochmas Yevanis. It does not appear anywhere. And according to the Rambam and Rashi and the Rivash, it's very clear why, because it's nothing to do with Greek philosophy. If you like, the Rambam is opening the door, saying that I don't have a problem with Greek philosophy. You can learn Greek philosophy. There may be different issues that you have to be careful about, but it's not included in the issue of Chochmas Yevanis. This was dealing with something else. And Rav Moshe Feinstein seems to pick this up in number 16, where he says, Yesh lava'er shekol loshen is a loshen posher shemadabrim b'kol ha'am. In every language, there is a language in the way that the normal people speak. The loshen tzochos b'chochma, and there is a highfalutin language, sheboy medabrim hasarim, that the politicians speak. There's always, in every language they have this. Bless you. The Greeks have this especially, says Rav Moshe, it is the Megillah. The Ika Loshen Shenikra Chochmas Yevanis Asruhu Rabbanan. It was the language of this special Chochmas Yevanis, that's what Chazal asked. Okay, and then he says, "Umafarish Rabbi Hillel the Haloshen Shehu Loshen Hatzachas B'Chachmasan Sheikazeh Gam B'Kol Loshen." And this applies in every language, not just Greek. In English, in Hebrew, whatever it is, also, it's also to speak in a way where you're communicating on different levels with different people in order to trick people, in order to confuse people, etc. Therefore, it seems that Rav Moshe is also going down the line that Chochmas Yevanis is not in and of itself a prohibition of learning Greek philosophy, but it's a prohibition of speaking and developing the kind of communication that led to what happened with the Churban and also what happened with Hierocles Aristobulus, etc. This seems to be the mainstream approach, which is why we find that many, many of the Rishonim were very connected with and involved in Greek philosophy on many different levels and taught it and incorporated it into a Jewish worldview. Look in number 17, excuse me, on the top of number 3, on page 3, a very famous line from the Rambam at the beginning of Shemona Prokim, V'dasha dvarim asher amar b'prokim elu, these things which I'm going to write in my Perush on Pirkei Avos, einam dorim shebedisim ma'atzmi, I didn't make this up. I didn't make any of this up myself. Loi perushim shechidashti. And I didn't invent, no chidushim, he says. I'm not giving you my own chidushim, don't worry. Amnam heimin yanim lekutam, there are things that I've gathered, medivri chachomim, from the rabbis, b'midrashos, v'talmud, from the Gemara, v'zulasam, mechiburehem. Umidibre hafilosofim, gam came. And he said, I've also, of course, drawn from the philosophim, from the philosophers, hakadmonim v'hachadoshim. The ancient philosophers, the Greeks, and the new philosophers, which is Arabic philosophy as well. Says, I believe, says the Rambam, in truth. I don't care who said it. If it was said by Aristotle and it's true, it's true. And if it was said by someone else, if it's true, if it's emes, he wants to bring it. This, of course, was controversial. I'm not pretending that the Rambam was the only perspective on this. Many people were very unhappy with the extent to which the Rambam and others in that school of thought brought Greek philosophy into Jewish thinking. The Rambam was very unapologetic. He felt that this was part of Judaism. He actually says in the Morin Nebuchim that the Jews were originally philosophers and they stopped being philosophers, and you think it's from Aristotle, but actually it's from us originally. You can read the Morin Nebuchim and see what he says there. In terms of the halacha, it's interesting. In number 18, the Ramah brings down the Ein La'adam Lilmoy Ki Im Mikra. What should a person learn? Should learn Chumash, Mishnah, Gemara, Vahapoiskim, Hanim Shachim, Achreim, and the Mefarshim on all of these things. Should be happy, learn Torah in the day, learn Torah in the night, Chumash, Mishnah, Gemara. Avaloi belimud shar chochmas. Why are you learning other chochmas? And then he says, Mikol mokom, mutter lilmud ba'akrai shar chochmas. If you can find some way ba'akrai, not bekviut. I think this is the Ben Hashmoshes. Yeah? Lo yom v'lo laili. If you can learn other chochmas, okay, it's mutter to learn other chochmas. Ubilvat shelo yu sifrei minim. Of course, it's not apikorsis. But other chachmas, he says, are on the menu, as long as they don't become the ikar, as long as they become something which is akroi. The legacy of this, I think, is very interesting. Because this perspective that we are talking, the chachmas yevanis, is this external way of communicating. It's actually in the pnim, in the essence, means something different, I think is very nogea to what's going on. Because one of the main issues with the Greeks is that they had an external, they were kosher on the outside, and when you actually got to the essence of what they were really talking about, there was a deep tumah inside. If you look in number 19, there's a posik in Yecheskel, v'noga loy saviv. Yecheskel has this vision of the Merkava, and the storm that approaches has a shine around the outside. Inside there's a storm, and outside there's a sheen. Says the Zohar here, da'ihu malchus yavan. This is malchus yavan. The sachar lehu noga, that around the outside there's a shine. The loy bahu noga, but inside there's no noga. Okay, dechsev bahu saviv. Okay, and the Zohar says in other places that, and Rav Tzadok HaKohen stresses that this is why there is an attraction to Greek wisdom, because around the side of it, on the external, there's something very attractive, and in the internal there isn't. And there's a major machlokas in Jewish thinkers ad hayom hazeh as to what to do with that. Does that passel the whole thing? Or do we turn around and say, no, actually, we can use the kelim, the external, which they're yafte lukim b'yafis, b'yishkim b'olei shem. Maybe there is a positivity to Yafes, if we can use it productively. Of course, the core is Apikorosis and the core is Minas, but the Kalim, the outside, maybe is useful. Or is that actually the whole thing really sullied by the fact that deep inside there is something very... And this is a debate which goes on, has gone on, will go on, as to the value of certain secular studies and secular methodologies in understanding a Torah perspective. Yes or no, that we certainly won't resolve today. Which will give more. Thank you.